to do, and we want to get started right on time. And I'm Scotty.
And I'm Shannon. And I want to start with a surprise. Scott didn't know about this. I wrote a poem. Okay, I want to start with this poem. This comes from my heart. I'm not a poet. But I wrote it late in the night last night. It came to me. It woke me up. This is for our hearts to take in. Peace has arrived. A new field of energy accompanies its arrival. Each one of us empowered, stepping into his or her higher self, brighter self. Peace's march goes onward, taking us with it, within its allness. Here we are of one accord. There's no longer dissent, which is no longer even a possibility. Peace has arrived.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Did you like it?
Yeah. And I want to give you an overview of this course, because I'm just going to...
Do you want to introduce ourselves first?
Sure. Go ahead. You can see who's in charge here, can't you?
Well, as you probably know, I'm Shannon Peck. And who are you?
Keep going.
This is Scotty. And we're a couple that approaches life from the heart and even a spiritual approach. So you're going to have a lot of influence from that. We consider the topic of peacemaking a sacred topic. There's honor in it. And for the next 10 weeks, we're teaching a powerful 10 skills to create peace that we hope you'll find peace starts showing up in your life, in your relationships. It'll be on your mind. It'll appear and give you extra help when you weren't even consciously thinking of it, because we're starting a conscious stream together here. And you'll find creating peace will be on your mind and be more possible as we come into this together and talk about the peace skills that elevate relationships and moods and well-being and everything.
You know, the real thing is, to me, this is what's in my heart, is that instead of peace being some, oh, that's impossible, or some huge wad of energy that you don't quite know what to do with, that our goal is to enable you to walk away from this course with 11 very specific peace skills. And each one is completely manageable and intelligent. And I'm going to show you those right now, because I want to give you an overview of the course. So we're going to be going through all 11 of these skills.
So don't freak out looking at this. This is masterful. This is the master guide.
Well, it's something, as a peace master, you want to know what's going on. You want to know the process. And this is what's going on in peace. And we're going to be dealing with this envision piece, the first one over here, today. And then we're going to go number two, decide to set in motion, get the feelings out. And you can, this is on the website. It's also in the chat window. You can download it. And when we send out the link for the recordings, it'll be in that as well. If you don't know how to open the chat window, you just go down to the bottom of your screen and click on chat window. So, you know, we're also, after we go through all 11 of these skills, we're going to talk about how do you have peace within? Because even in the midst of conflict, that's one of the ingredients of a peace master, is they have peace within.
Yeah, and even with some people, you can't make peace. Maybe they've passed on. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe they're no longer in your life. So how do you get peace within? Really important.
Yeah, it is. And one of the questions that comes up, I'm going to go back here again to this. I want you to look at the bottom where it says moving from conflict to peace.
And they know how to get the screen, right?
Yeah, but if you're on audio, we're going to tell you these things. This is a huge, huge learning point, that peace is not the absence of conflict. So many people think they're in a, let's say they're in a divorce proceedings, they're in a business things where they're not going well or they're in conflict with themselves, and you feel, oh my goodness, how is this ever going to end? And you just wish for a break from the conflict. Well, that break from the conflict is not peace. That's just neutrality. So if you look at it, on one end of the spectrum is anger and hate and revenge and physical violence. And then you have internal anger, not yet expressed as physical violence. And then you have, moving a little towards neutrality, distrust, doubt, and fear about the other person. So
not about yourself.
That's not peace. Yeah, or about yourself. As peace develops, you have a tentative, wary agreement, neither spoken or unspoken, that we're going to work things out, a growing acceptance of each other or of another person's point of view, mutual solutions and justice start going up.
That's when it gets really beautiful.
Yeah, and this is what peace is. And then, of course, love and the expression of your highest self. So that's, I'm going to come back and stop sharing the screen. That's what we is important to know. So we're not just looking for the absence of conflict. We're looking for the presence. I mean, you look at our marriage. It's not the absence of conflict that defines our marriage. It's the presence of equality and a caring and compassion. Many, many other things we're going to get into.
So we want to help you shift this morning from wherever you are with the conflict that you signed up for. Whatever was that trigger that made you sign up for this course, whoever you were thinking about, your boss, your spouse, your friend, sister, brother, whatever. We want to help you shift right away, beginning with a peace skill. And so today we're going to talk about envisioning peace. That's the first peace skill of the 10, envisioning. So in thinking about envisioning, I think, first of all, of a possibilities mindset. So let's get into that mindset of it's possible. Just shift into it's possible. I don't know how on earth we're going to create peace with that person that's in your life that's been driving you crazy. Or you're so angry at, or you've been so upset about, there's been so much conflict. We don't know how that's going to happen. The how is not important. The important part right now is to introduce to yourself a possibility mindset that it's possible. It's possible. So we start with an intention in that possibility. My number one intention with my biggest conflict is fill in the blank. What comes to mind? My number one intention for this conflict in my life, maybe it's to just calm down. Maybe it's just to start living with some peace. That's an intention. That's a wonderful intention. Or to be non-reactive during a conflict. Wouldn't that be great? So you're not actually contributing to the fuel. Or that you don't have to yell. That's a wonderful intention. So there's no wrong intention. It's just begin with some intention that's headed towards peace. And so I want to ask you a question. On a scale between 1 and 10 right now, what extent do you feel peaceful today, this morning? Just check in for a minute. To what extent do you feel peaceful today? You might be, and 10 being very peaceful, you might feel it a 6, an 8, a 1, or a minus 86. Whatever it is, we'd like for you to shift wherever you are into a higher concept of what's possible without knowing how. Just to admit, well, I'm going to set an intention that peace is possible. I don't know how, but I'm going to move into the possibility framework. So let me ask you another question. On a scale between 10 and 1 and 10, to what extent do you believe that achieving your goal of peace is delusional on your part? Total delusion. So 10 means highly delusional. One means not delusional, you know, very possible. So I'd like to ask you, what comes up for you when you think of setting an intention like we're talking about to actually shift conflict into peace and inner peace? Is your inner conflict, it's not possible? It probably won't happen. This is overwhelming to me and I can't navigate it. It's too hard. I don't have the power. I don't have the capability. It's just too much. That might come up. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you when I've had experiences where I thought peace was delusional in my previous marriage. It just didn't look like there was any way out. I really couldn't envision how peace was possible. And I think when we look at some of our large mentors in peace, when you look at Martin Luther King, for example, and imagine him looking out before he was assassinated, but just during this whole time, at all the racism that was so rampant in America and that he was facing and his supporters were facing, it looked hopeless.
Yeah.
It looked hopeless.
It didn't stop him.
I think of one of our other mentors, the Dalai Lama, you know, he lost his country.
I mean, violently.
And how are you going to get no hope, really, of getting it back? And that is where the possibility mindset has to transcend what looks like the evidence. So here I was, I mean, here was Dalai Lama without a country, Martin Luther King with all the racism, and me in a terrible marriage. Being a peacemaster means that you open yourself to the possibility that there is a solution without knowing what that solution is.
You know, another thing that we're more accustomed to is the word hope. I guess I lived in my 18-year marriage previous to Scotty in hope of the possibility of peace. And as an outcome, it grew me like nobody's business. I grew and grew and grew. I kept resourcing within myself, sourcing ways to create more peace, to be a better person, to understand what was the problem with all the conflict. And so I grew, and that possibility actually dissolved into divorce after 18 years, but not without growing me tremendously.
Yeah, and I remember you telling me that you would have never left him because you were always, your expectation, your goal was that somehow the marriage would work out. And then he left you for another woman. But
yes,
that wasn't the outcome that you were. And that really raises an important issue, that when we get focused on outcomes, the way we envision something happening at the end, an outcome, that's a mistake as a peacemaster. Because you want to go larger than the outcome. Yeah.
You don't want to cling to the idea that the outcome of this conflict is they're going to apologize and they're going to come up to you begging to forgive them. May or may not happen. So that's not what we're discussing as a possibilities. We're going much broader, much bigger.
Yeah.
Because growing peace will grow you. It will grow in you into a very beautiful person. I feel more beautiful when I have created peace. There's just a beautiful feeling that I held my temper. I didn't say what was on my mind. I waited. I paused. All the things that you hope you'll do. And it's a beautiful way of living, a beautiful way of being.
And another way to put it is that at this, if you understand this, you're like halfway down the road of being a peacemaster. Is that peace is never about the outcome. It is about the process. And what we are encouraging ourselves to do and going to be teaching in this course is to help you become a peacemaster and a master of the process. And when you look at peace as a process, it's a lot easier to calm down.
Yeah. Last month, I had an extremely challenging month. And I had to practice peace. It was with every effort, every ounce I had, over and over and over. I'm the caretaker for my daddy, who's 97, who's been doing great till recently. But last month he had surgery. It was complicated. We had to depend on so many people for help, nurses, attendants, and then going into a nursing home. I must have dealt with 150 people, and I was with him every day, and some nights. So the frustration, because he would be in pain, and I would go out into the hallway and push the button, you know, and look for somebody. And, you know, pain is a very urgent thing, and I want to protect him. I want to help him. And so when someone would, most of the time someone came, you know, right away, which is wonderful, a big relief. And I was tense. It was a stressful situation. But I remember one night I had been waiting for a nurse for a couple of hours, and they were really busy. And so finally I went to the nurse's desk, and I was about to blow. And I had already thought about what I was going to say. It wasn't going to be good. I just needed to get a blow. And so I walked up there, and I asked the nurse my name, and they said, "Oh no, she's gone off her shift. I'm the new nurse." And I thought, are you kidding me? I've waited for over two hours. And now I'm going to talk to you. And I looked at this man, and I said, "Just a minute." And I looked off into the hallway, and I thought, okay, Shannon, you're standing here. Are you going to be walking away embarrassed that you lost it, that you said things you wish you hadn't, that you blamed or whatever, you know, that the harshness came out of you, of all this anger, which really, and in that moment, as I looked away, I remembered to take a deep breath. And I took a deep breath, and I came back, and I looked at that man, and I said, "I'm having a really hard time right now. I'm really, really frustrated. And I've been waiting a long time for someone to hear me. Can you help me?" And speaking from my heart like that, that man just turned into just a great, wonderful, loving, compassionate, listening ear for me. And in no time at all, we were working together and really making progress on looking at Dad's chart and coming up with some ideas to help him. And it just turned out so beautifully, rather than, you know, what I really wanted to do. And I had so many extreme challenges like that over periods of weeks, or every day, really. So I wanted to share that with you. So setting the intention, holding that possibility open, that you can walk into a situation that you're so aggravated about, and you're so tired of, you know, being in that situation and that same old aggravation, and you're going to do something different. You're going to do something honorable. You're going to come into a sacred space for yourself and this situation, and you're going to hold, even just for a breath time moment, the possibility, because your intention is really to move through whatever the conflict is with harmony, so that you two are together. You two actually are working together. You two are actually saying kind things and can be treating each other with respect. How important is that? I mean, that's the most valuable thing I know, really.
You know, one of the beautiful realities of this first peace skill, envision peace, is that it does not depend on or involve anybody else.
It's true.
This is the scary part.
Yeah.
Because it's internal. And for that reason, it's also invisible. If Shannon and I have a conflict, the solution isn't for both of us to come out with peace. It only takes one of us to start envisioning peace, to put that in motion.
I'll remember that next time, so that he could be the one.
But I think it shows the power of this peace skill, that the peace process begins with the individual, with you, with me, envisioning peace without anybody else doing anything. It's not conditional on anybody else.
It will grow you, and in a beautiful way. There'll be added beauty to your life, self-esteem, for sure, and inner confidence. And you'll be on the line each time. Can I do it? This is a hard one. Maybe this is harder than the last time, and I really feel so blown up, and I'm so ready to scream and put my fist through the wall. And yet, finding some kind of moment, that precious moment of sacredness within you at that moment, will shift you with the intention of, you know, I really would rather do this in a peaceful, loving, caring, respectful way. And trust that that is more powerful than screaming, more powerful than venting, more powerful than blaming, more powerful than getting something off your chest and no uncertain terms and let them know whatever. It makes you very beautiful. Your higher self comes forward in peacemaking skills. This peacemaking is not for the faint of heart. It's just one of the highest things of consciousness that I know of.
And it often feels unjust, because one of the arguments that you'll have to overcome is like, well, why should I be the peacemaker? You know, let someone else do it, or let you be the peacemaker. You know, after all, you know, you're the one who's wrong. So it feels and sometimes when you look out at society and you're not happy with what you see, it's hard to be the one to take responsibility to be the peacemaker. But that's the beauty, because this is the beginning of having inner peace within yourself. Once you make that decision to start envisioning peace, you find your heart moves from a heart in conflict to much more of a heart at peace.
And I guarantee you, your blood pressure will go way down. It's very helpful. And so, considering the consequences of conflict, the consequences are enormous to your selfhood, to the environment that you're contributing or detracting from. The consequences are enormous to people who know you, people who are around you, people who you really love. And it's so easy just to be so stressed. We never get enough sleep, right? And things don't go our way. And this is like the 50th thing today that's gone wrong. And all you need is one more thing that's going to go wrong. And man, you're going to blow. And you're going to justify it because you're having a really tough time in your life. And the bank account's not balancing. And somebody didn't give you the check. And I mean, we got 1,000 reasons to justify blowing. You know, that anger just wells up. Or the hurt just... It's toxic. It's toxic to ourselves and our environment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's not a chore to become a peacemaster. It is, it may feel like that, but it is like a divine invitation to come into who you really are, who you want to be. Well, be it now. You know, this is. Yeah. The opportunity. You know where you are in your notes?
I know exactly where I am, even though I'm way off. I guess good, we're okay. I wanted to say something else. What was it? Let me think. I'm going to pull back and really look at a huge picture and invite you into this. Maybe you know why you're here on Earth. Maybe you don't. But you incarnated for a reason. You know in your deepest heart there is a reason you incarnated. I do a lot of past life regression. And in my experience with people doing over 100 regressions, I'm fascinated with the pureness of motive with which people enter this life and the hopes we have. And then when we exit the life, what happens, and immediately we get it. We get it where we blew it. It's obvious where we blew it over and over. So this is an invitation not to blow this life. This is an invitation to make this life the one, the biggest, best, most beautiful life incarnation you have ever had to date. And I've had people who have incarnated for over 1,000 years with the same thing to learn. One woman was just had 300 years of self-doubt, and it came up again in her past life regression. And this time, at the end of her life, when she went into spirit world, I said, well, what did you learn? Because I didn't really have a clue. I said, well, what did you learn from that life that you were shown today? And she said, I learned that self-doubt has held me back for over 300 years. They're telling me 300 lifetimes. So this is the biggest picture I can offer you, the highest context to moving into your biggest, most beautiful life beyond your wildest imagination. And you know what? You deserve it. And if ever Earth needed your most positive, beautiful light, your input, it would be this moment. Really, we're in a bit of a crisis on Earth today, as you well know, whether it's the environment or whatever. The list is kind of long and getting longer by the day. It's very urgent. And it calls upon each of us to bring our highest and most beautiful light to the picture. And your light's already there. You don't have to invent it. You brought it in, I guarantee you. So wanted to say that.
You know, I was thinking as you were speaking that being a peacemaster is a little bit of a muddy process.
Yeah, please.
It's not like, oh, I went from conflict to envisioning peace. Sometimes you go back and forth and back and forth with your anger, and then you replace it with the possibilities mindset. So, but that's part of the process. Mm-hmm. Even the desire to be a peacemaster, the desire to hold the possibilities mindset, just that desire is putting you on the path of a peacemaster. Mm-hmm. So don't get mad at yourself when you. It's like when you meditate and you start thinking of all the other things. Well, you don't get mad at yourself because you failed to meditate. You just get back on the path. And then it gets easier. And it's nice to know, well, where do I start? You know, and well, you start by envisioning.
And I tell you, when you're really upset about something or someone and you're in the place with that someone and they know you're upset, and you pause and you remember who you are and you remember why you're here and what's at stake and the outcome you want to have, and you start welling up with that motivation and that possibility mindset and that intention to make things right, and you don't know how, but all this is taking place, that person in front of you is going to feel it and they're going to marvel because they've seen you blow before, but this time something's different. Something has come in of such exquisite beauty and to be admired and esteemed.
You know, an example of that, a beautiful example of that is the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
And I want to just share something with you because he inspires me and I'm sure you as well. He's the 14th Dalai Lama. And when he was 25, he lost his country.
Violently.
So he's 81 now, and for 58 years, he's been without his country. So you could say, well, what good is being peaceful? But what do we know the Dalai Lama for more than anything else? Is for his joy.
Yeah.
And his happiness.
His laughter.
And his laughter. And when you think of the Dalai Lama, if somebody said, well, you think of the Dalai Lama as a success or a failure? It's almost like a joke to ask that question because, of course, he's a success.
And do you think it was easy?
But not by measuring outcomes. And I want to show you something that I think is pretty thrilling. This is from the Dalai Lama's own site, thedalailama.com. I just went there last night and saw this. This was new to me. But notice it says that his life is guided by three major commitments. I'm going to read this for those of you who are on audio, the promotion of basic human values or secular ethics in the interest of human happiness.
That is lofty.
Now, notice that doesn't have to do with outcomes
or
form.
How much do we love him for that?
Yeah.
What an intention.
And his... another major commitment is the fostering of interreligious harmony.
Mm.
And the last one, the preservation of Tibet's Buddhist culture, a culture of peace and nonviolence. So this is how he's, this to me is an example of possibilities mindset. These, he doesn't say, here are my three outcomes that I want to achieve in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, get Tibet out from China, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's much broader and in terms of the possibilities thinking. Notice the how is missing.
Yeah. How's it going to happen?
It's the what.
How am I going to get home? How am I going to get Tibet back? How am I going to restore my country? You know, he had to let go. Of course, part of the Buddhist training is letting go and non-attachment and non-clinging. Oh my God, I can't even imagine what he must have gone through, because what Scott just shared with you didn't happen overnight. He didn't leave the country at age 25 or 24 and suddenly say, I'm going to, you know, be practice my joy. And I can't imagine the agony, the tears, the struggle, the suffering, the years that he must have gone through of practicing his principles, practicing his Buddhist principles. And then you saw how it grew him to who he is today. He's a shining earth light. He's just one of our biggest lights. And how much we admire him for that. You know the strength of character that takes to face such a horrid, just a horrendous situation of losing the people you love, losing your country, losing your identity. He was supposed to be the Dalai Lama of Tibet.
Well, and his joy is so deep and infectious.
Yeah.
But that's just, to me, the beautiful example in action of a peacemaster and possibilities thinking.
Yeah. And it's almost like mountaintop, you know, summit thinking, because he had to overcome, and climbing that summit of peace, he had to overcome every time he had self-pity. Oh, imagine. And pity for others and you know, turn it back into compassion for himself and compassion. And he had to overcome his hatred, his anger, his the injustice of what was done, the violence, the way people were murdered, slain, without value of life whatsoever. He had so much to overcome. And yet, by effort, by intention, by possibility mindset, by his practicing over and over, wow, it grew him into who he is today. Much to admire.
Unfortunately, you're making me think of my previous marriage. And
if you've ever
had a bad relationship, you know it can bring out the worst in you.
Yeah, really. I mean, promise.
I think of myself as a soft, loving person.
And you are.
And that one really challenged me to stay in that substance of who I am. So developing yourself as a peacemaster, you have to be able to laugh at yourself and to laugh at life and to laugh at your failures and to catch yourself. Well, that was a complete disaster yesterday, but that's not who I am.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get back into the envisioning and the possibilities and work from that space. And in fact, that's what enabled that marriage to end. It ended, which was good news, but it ended harmoniously.
Yeah. So in creating peace, we're getting into the other skills over the 10 weeks together. It's so rich. We're so excited for you and us to be able to do this together. But there is self-forgiveness involved, because without self-forgiveness, where's your resilience? You know, and you do want to get back on the saddle. You do want to get back into the play of your higher life. So important. Would you like for me to talk about visualization?
I would.
I was supposed to do this about 10 minutes ago.
Now what if I said no?
I'm going to talk a little bit about visualization. And then I'm going to lead you through a visualization of your own. And then we're going to open it up for the last probably 15 minutes or more to you. If there are questions, we're going to open up the chat room. What's on your mind? What's happening? As you can imagine, there's not a lot of time to go into a person's individual story. So we're going to manage this as best we can and try to be guided to be fair and appropriate for the entire group. There's a lot of people online here. So I want to talk about and invite you into another practice for the envisioning, and that is visualization. There's a lot of science behind visualization, and that's why top Fortune 500 executives practice it. They're coached in it. Professional athletes are coached in it. Visualization, really important. And if you don't have this down, this is the day that we want to introduce you to it or remind you of it so that you can bring that back into play, because it's a power. So when you imagine, here's what happens to some of the science behind visualization. When you imagine yourself doing something, such as creating peace, you're in that moment, you're getting ready to blow, and you think, I wonder if I could create peace, you've opened the door. When you imagine it, it turns on part of the brain, parts of the brain that are actually used in performing the activity of peace. You actually have ignited, you've opened a door in your brain. And so envisioning peace, you're actually moving towards peace. So envisioning is very important. Visualization actually can create neural pathways in your brain that weren't there before that sets you on a new course and create some grooves in your brain to return to over and over that will work for you. So peace building actually builds your ability, your strength, your inner strength and resolve to make peace successfully.
Kind of like building grooves, not just in your brain, but in your soul.
Yeah, even better. And heart. And visualization works on an unconscious level and activating creative powers of the brain, parts that you don't even know about are happening. The process is in motion. So that visualization enables your brain, and I love this part, enables your brain to notice available resources that you hadn't noticed before and start bringing into your conscious awareness those things that will help you to achieve your goal of creating peace. So visualization is really important. It's
like the available resources. There you were about to blow with this new nurse, but as you took the moment to get into more peace, you also noticed that there he was as a loving presence.
Who knew? You know, as a stranger to me, it's a lot easier to blow on a stranger, right? Or maybe not.
But he was a resource that wasn't even visible in the anger.
And you know, I know he felt my energy coming at him. I know he felt me. I know who wants to be around that? You know, he could have looked down at his desk or picked up the phone and act like he was on the call, or he could have, you know, been distracted and left. I really honor him for staying present and facing the problem with me, because I was in great need of help, and his compassionate heart enabled us to move forward at that time. Really important. So studies show that visualization, the practice of daily visualization, is what really gets the big results. So we want to invite you into a daily visualization practice. So let's do this. Let's think about this, and I'm going to take a couple of minutes. So we're going to focus on your number one conflict in your life right now. Just pick one where you most want to see and feel peace. You want mostly to make your biggest progress with, and we're going to do a visualization on that. So first of all, think about what you want as an end result. Like in terms of feeling, you want to feel happy, you want to feel relaxed, regardless of the conflict, regardless of the outcome. Wouldn't that be lovely? You can visualize where you see past the conflict, just go right past it, where there's total peace, even a field of peace. And I think of peace as a field. It's because it's bigger than one person's presence. It encompasses the others as well. And it surrounds us all the time. When you call it in, it comes into play. So in this thinking about how you want the end result, how will you feel in your body at the end result of this creating peace with this individual and this visualization? How will you feel in your chest? In your stomach, in your digestion, because listen, conflict really affects all that. How you feel in your muscles, your shoulder, you know, where we hold the tension, your back, your arms, your legs. And how will you feel in your emotions? free, calm, relaxed, happy, restful? Are those beautiful or what? I mean, really, the stress goes way down with the introduction in your mind, visualizing, holding that space for peace to occur. And it can happen very quickly. You can shift. Okay, so how will you look when that peace arrives? We're visualizing this. How will the expression on your face look compared to where it is when you think of the conflict? How will your body language be when you sit, when you stand, when you move? There may be a new presence that is evident in your energy field that causes people to feel emotionally safe around you and trust you. We trust an energy field of peace. We know it. It's like intuitive. It's instinctive. The animals know it when they're safe around you. Because, you know, that inner peace speaks deeply to the energy field, and it sends out a message that I'm not going to go off like a bullet on you. I'm not going to go off half-cocked and say things to you. You're safe. I'm not going to take out my bad day on you. I'm not going to take out my frustration on you. You're safe here. I'm a field of peace, and I'll hold that for you. Isn't that sweet? So we're visualizing you as a new presence of peace. And we want to include in the visualization sounds, smells, textures, as well as the feelings, which multiplies the effect of peace. So let's say how you feel is you feel all soft inside, and yet you can let your guard down, but you're not vulnerable. You don't have to be defensive and flinching around and on attack and fight or flight. You actually can visualize yourself feeling soft inside while feeling very strong and relaxed and peaceful. Your new freedom smells a certain way. And I was thinking about this last night. How does peace smell to me? It smells so fresh. It's like inviting the warm sun on my face, my body. It smells fresh, like a breeze, a gentle breeze or springtime. It's just so fresh. Let's say you feel like giving yourself some special time. So let's visualize that, where you're actually offering yourself kind attention. When was the last time you gave yourself kindness, kind attention? And you said, okay, now for the next few minutes or this morning or whatever, I want to really be kind to myself. I want to give some attention where I feel special. And I feel that there's a me here, and get in touch with myself. And you deserve this. And you want to lock in, you do deserve it. That's part of your visualization. Of course you deserve it. And that's going to overcome the mountain of shame about how you acted before, or a guilt. We all have that, over who we're not and who we wish we were and how we wish we could be. We're going to climb that mountain over and over and over and stand proudly on the summit, all lit up in your relaxed, beautiful state of being a field of peace. So beautiful, your highest self, on point, marching forward into that light that you know you came to bring, and that you know that you are exuding even as we speak here. Even as I'm leading this visualization, I can feel it. I can feel your synergy. Can you feel it, Scotty? I just feel you. I feel like we're lighting up the world with it. It's very beautiful. So let me just mention what's missing in the visualization and what's no longer present. Tension, stress, brain fog, tightness in the chest and the stomach and the muscles, tired, fatigue. It's exhausting to be upset. Irritation, high emotions of anger are all justified. How much fun is that? It's just not fun. You came here to play too, remember? All the guilt, shame, remorse, those awful feelings that don't belong to you in the first place. The imagined conversations of telling someone off, that's gone. There's no place in your visualization. Isn't this a beautiful visualization to repeat each morning, you know, like after your shower or getting dressed, write it down, listen to it over and over, and let it become a part of you, because we're really calling that part of you into peace that is your destiny. Peace is your destiny. You would not be on this call if peace were not your destiny. I guarantee you that. So this is very empowering.
So before we take questions, and by the way, there's a chat area at the bottom of your screen. If you're, you can just go down and open the chat window and you can type a question. But I want to make a couple summary points that I think are important. And for those of you who are on video, I'm opening up the peace guide again. For those of you on audio, I will make this clear. Of the 11 skills, the first one is to envision peace. And this is how important that is. Without this skill, you can't and won't implement the other 10. Because how are you going to listen with compassion if you can't even envision peace? How are you going to be a loving and detached observer if you can't even envision that? So
envision the possibility. So you might even jump into a conflict with, because your heart's moved in some way and you're led to say something loving. Well, you're into loving speech, which is way down on the line, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, peace skill number 7. But what's happened is you shifted into envisioning peace because you started with loving speech.
I think it's exciting to me.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I think it's exciting to me. Of course, peace is muddy and you can do any of these skills in any order you want and all over the place. However, to recognize that peace begins with you alone and involves no one else is incredibly powerful. And it's an internal skill. It's invisible. When Shannon was there getting her anger to go into a more loving place, that was all happening within her. It was invisible to anybody else. So it's exciting to know you have that power. I want to emphasize that peace is not about how. I sometimes think of how as the form. You know, how is my soulmate going to appear? When will I get this job or not? How will this relationship end? How will this country be less divisive? Those how questions, as much as we want to figure out what the how is going to be, is not the way a peace master approaches things, because you're working at a much bigger arena, which Shannon calls a field, which I think is very accurate, the much bigger arena of just opening to the possibilities and the knowledge that peace is inevitable when you begin the process. So if you start envisioning peace, you are starting something that is inevitable. I challenge you to spend 3 minutes watching a video of the Dalai Lama without being caught up in the contagion of his
smile,
joy,
and
his heart, because it's part of the process.
Let's open it up. Let's see what's going on in the chat room.
Well,
can we do that, or do you have something to say? We've got 10 minutes.
A couple of more
points. Oh, okay, good. I'll be quiet. I'll be peaceful.
Yes, that's what you say here.
I'll okay.
But in many ways, envisioning peace, another way of, it's calling you to surrender to the light, to surrender to your highest self. You know what that is. You've been in touch with it in your reflections and your meditation. So as you surrender to that light, which is you, you just naturally move into the space of envisioning peace. So, and sometimes you have to just think of it like a swimming pool. You're going to dive in to that light and then you become immersed in the water.
Yeah, beautiful.
But not until you make the dive. So I think this is exciting. Now you're ready to be a peace master. And you don't have to know how it's going to happen or even if it's going to happen. You're just putting in motion, you're orchestrating a process that is going to lead to higher well-being, definitely for you, and most likely for everyone else around you. So, to ask a question,
raising your hand.
You can type it in the chat thing.
Do they know how to get to the chat room?
You go down to the bottom of your screen and click on chat, and then you can type there. Or I'm going to right now do something kind of, how do I unmute everybody? Oh, there we have. Oh. All right, here's a question. And I'm not going to give names. Well, I am so viscerally reactive to betrayal that I have a difficult time when people in my women's group don't see it and make excuses and bypass to focus on the positive. And as a result, I detach and feel like I don't belong. And being European and not from California, I am more direct about negative states. That's a very thoughtful question.
Yeah.
Very thoughtful.
So I'm thinking about this. The problem is feeling betrayed.
When people don't see it and they make excuses and try to bypass it. Yeah. And somebody else just said those ladies in your women's group are discounting your feelings. That would make me angry too.
Yeah. I like that. Thank you, group. This is great talking to each other. Is everyone unmuted? So if somebody wants to raise their hand, or how does that work?
Well, mostly for the chat.
Okay.
So let me just say to the person who asked this question, thank you for having the courage to speak up.
Yeah.
When you feel those, I mean, we've all been betrayed in some way or the other, and it feels terrible. But some have had really terrible experiences of that, and it stays with you, and it's internalized. So the one thing that, as you begin to envision the possibilities of living without that intimidation, living without that fear, and living without that hurt, forget the women's group. This is just within you. When you open yourself to the possibilities of, that's not how I have to live. I can move beyond this. I don't know how, but I can gain the wisdom, the courage, the mindset, the heart set to live beyond betrayal. And remember, peace is not the absence of something. It's not the absence of betrayal. It's the presence. Well, what would be the presence then? Be the presence of self-confidence, of self-love, of loving your highest self. It would be seeing yourself as light.
I was going to say, let's say you're sitting there in the women's meeting and you're getting that feeling. It's come up again. You feel betrayed. You feel discounted. You feel invisible. At that moment, let's just say we're in that moment right now. Let's invite peace. Let's invite the field of peace right now. Let's get into the mindset of it. Something's possible to shift this. Something wonderful is possible. One thing that comes to mind within your own power is to empathize with yourself. Bless your heart. Bless you. It's hard to be invalidated with your feelings, but you know what? You can sit there and you can validate your feelings. If you feel hurt, go ahead and validate those feelings. I feel it's extremely important to feel our feelings. And that's a way of honoring you. And that starts right away reversing that tide of feeling dishonored, because it's within you to, maybe this is a calling to honor yourself. But let's envision that something new is possible for you to hold this field of peace, even in the old situation that feels so bad, and you're feeling European again, and left out and so isolated, and it's just awful feelings. So we want to improve the feelings, validate your feelings, bring in love for yourself, bring in an empathy for yourself, validate those precious feelings. I think one of my biggest triggers is exactly like you, is to feel someone is discounting my feelings. Someone is, you know, invalidating me. Like I don't count, like my feelings don't have any value. Really? I know your feelings have value. How come my feelings don't have value? And that's a big trigger for me too.
And a couple things have been added here. Yes, validation is important. It helps to create a safe place.
Emotionally.
And then from this person again, I can do it when being with other friends, but then I feel self-righteous. I feel righteous indignation with this group. Somebody else said, find another group and begin your own women's group. And somebody said, bring this up in your group. Not sure they will want to support you, but that's what I was thinking. Sometimes when you're in a situation where you feel betrayed or angry, and even if they're trying to say something that they think might be helpful, but you find it only adds fire to the hurt, that's the point. You see, now you're in a conflict with other people. So as you move back to the envisioning peace, love skill, it's all about, even though I'm with this group, I can remove myself from the group internally and recognize I can envision peace. As you begin to do that, it's possible that you can begin to even look at these other women as a resource and open the door to saying, you know, I'm hurting right now, and I want to share with you how you can help me by listening to my heart. Because although I see you as wanting to be comforting to me by saying these positive things, I'm having a big struggle with betrayal, and it would help me a great deal if I knew that you understood that. Now, that's not necessarily what you should do. It's just, that's one possibility.
Into the open.
Another possibility is to not be in that woman's group. But it's not about them and you. This is the, as hard as it may seem, going back to the Dalai Lama who lost his country, it's not about the Chinese and the Dalai Lama. It's about the decision you're going to make to live at the highest level of what you're possible of living.
I'm very picky about people who surround me. And that works really well for me. And I would be questioning if I were in that group. I'm not suggesting this is true or not, but I'm always inner questioning, like, do I really belong here? Is this my right place? Does this serve me? Is this group going to change if I bring it up? Should I even bother? What's my intuition telling me? And turn on the intuition to see what is your right place. Is it to leave the group and find another wonderful group, one that is more individually thinking and not so mob thinking? Sometimes the mob, they all just act the same way and they're not really very conscious. You sound like a conscious person, and maybe you belong with individuality in a group where individuals are thinking for themselves and picking up on you and acting differently than a mob, a group.
I want to share some, I just love you all for what you're saying. And for those of you on audio who can't see the chat screen, I'm going to read some of these. I believe that forgiving ourself is crucial to accomplish peace. So do you have recommendations to forgive oneself? Okay, well, that's a question.
That's a peace skill, and we will get into that.
Possibly bring this up in your group. I'm sure they will want to support you. Another person said, I agree, for whatever reason, it's not a good fit to find a better place. Just ask and listen and then follow. Somebody said, I love what Scott just said. Well, this is my new best friend.
What about what I said?
Hopefully, those women will have compassion and empathy. If not, time to leave that group.
That's good.
So Nikki says, we are all mirrors for each other. Betsy said, once you find the peace within you, then maybe these women will feel it. And
they will.
And their energy will also change.
That's a possibility.
I think that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Again, possibility mindset.
Yeah.
I remember about 10 years ago, I'm in real estate in
my
occupation. And talk about having clients that you don't feel there's a value fit or that are using you or
disrespectful.
I made the decision 10 years ago to only serve clients that where there's a value match and where I like them and they like me. And, you know, it's, you don't usually see in business people saying, shoving away business. And I thought, well, I might make a lot less money doing this.
Well, we were just so tired of him being disrespected. Somebody's calling at 10 o'clock at night, making demands on having a big, huge conversation about business. My heavens, there's so many violations of boundaries here. Respect. And I got so exhausted with overcoming my upset about it. We finally decided, let's just deal with people we love and who are going to treat you with respect.
You might have 10 wonderful clients and one that's giving you hell, and that's the one you think about all day long.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the result of that was that my business just took off like a rocket, and I became the number one real estate agent in our little pond. And I felt better about my life. But that wasn't about my conflict with another person. Like, okay, I got to tell this person to stop acting this way.
Yeah.
This was about, in fact, that's a funny story. I got very briefly. Don't we have time?
No.
No, we don't. Okay. back here. So.
Wonderful. Amen. Yes, exactly what Shannon said too.
Thank you for voicing possibilities. I don't have the words and the vulnerability sometimes.
Yeah.
I understand.
We can start a group right now.
Yes, exactly what Shannon said too. Oh, somebody likes you, Shannon. Okay. We can start a group right now. That's good. This could be too far out. However, perhaps you might be able to help shift the consciousness and environment of the group and help them discover the top two key skills of growing acceptance and unity.
And Barb said, see, Shannon, I included you too, Smiley.
Yeah.
These are wonderful comments. You are wonderful.
How do you handle inappropriate comments or hurtful critiques or social media? Yeah. I've got several tough emails about this Peace Course. Somebody was angry. It said I had no right to teach this course if I wasn't vegan. And they said that in very clear terms and repeatedly. So, you know, it's like, oh, am I going to get dragged into that conflict now? Or am I going to envision something higher? So
can people go back and read these comments after we click off, because we're going to sign off in just a second here?
I think so, but I'm not sure.
We're not sure. We're counting
YouTube. We said we were going to end on time because it's better to not drag things out, and we're going to have a lot of time together, 9 more sessions.
I want to end with a poem.
Okay.
I didn't write it. But, it's a lot better. I think you'll like this one better.
But I want to say one of the highlights for me of this first meeting was your activity on the chat, the fabulous power of envisioning and love and compassion that is there in your answers with your questions. Poem.
Yeah. Here's a beautiful poem. I was thinking about peace and our Native American friends who had the peace pipe. It was part of their ceremonial everyday living activity. Really important, very sacred. And then Longfellow wrote in Hiawatha the following poem. It's very brief, and you can say another comment if you want to. I am weary of your quarrels, weary of your wars and bloodshed, weary of your prayers for vengeance, of your wranglings and dissensions. All your strength is in your union. All your danger is in discord. Therefore, be at peace henceforth, and as brothers, live together.
Well, we love you. Thank you for being with us. I hope you'll continue. We'll be sending out a link to this recording. And
we're excited.
Thank you for every step you're taking to envision peace.
You're beautiful. Thank you.
Much love.
Much love.